Let's get to Ben Zielinski here today. Happy New Year, Ben Zielinski. How's life in Springfield or at Capital News, Illinois?
Happy New Year, John. Thanks for having me. It's good to be back after the New Year.
Yeah, you probably had some time off as politicians, you know, as they want to do. They're not in session right now. In fact, remind us, when does Springfield go back into session here in 2026?
Yeah, we're actually coming back very soon. I believe it's one of the chambers. I think it's the House that comes in first. They'll be back the second week of January, I think around January 13th, and then the Senate will come in for their own first week of the year after that. But we really won't see things really get going until about mid-February when we get the governor to deliver his budget address.
And that's kind of where things start debating from there? Is that kind of the natural order of the calendar months, the governor makes his budget proposal and address in February, and then from there it gets hashed out till the end of May?
Exactly. That's kind of how it goes. And then all the other bills and other things the General Assembly does as part of their day-to-day operations kind of start taking off from there with committee hearings and then hearing bills on the floor after that. So we'll be ramping up shortly, though, that's for sure.
Are there any, like, particular issues or potential laws? I mean, last year was all about are they going to have the fiscal cliff for the CTA and the RTA and all that? Any big ticket items now, or does sometimes that take a little while to sort out and see what's going to be the big news story out of Springfield of the year?
Yeah, I think that's kind of where we're at right now. There's nothing that really stands out besides the budget, actually. This is, you know, the first year where the General Assembly is going to be taking a look at the budget after the big, beautiful bill passed in Congress last summer. There's been a lot of other changes at the federal level. So this is kind of lawmakers' first opportunity to really truly respond to something substantial that the Trump administration has done over the last year. So I really do think actually the budget might be our biggest issue, just with the changes in the economy and various changes that Congress has made that affects the states.
What about the Bears and what they want? And now this threat of going to Indiana potentially, Ben, that's got to put some pressure on lawmakers to maybe pay attention to an issue that they have kind of swept under the rug for a little bit.
I agree. I think they do need to at least take a look at it now. I mean, Indiana, I'm sure, is going to come up with something to at least try to attract the Bears, whether the Bears are actually serious about that or not, you know, who knows. But I think you're going to see some more conversations happening about that this year. But, you know, I mean, we have heard from a lot of lawmakers that the Bears are not a priority, especially because of that budget situation I mentioned. A lot of lawmakers are just kind of saying the money is really just should be going elsewhere. The school districts, you know, can't be shortchanged on property taxes in Arlington Heights. The state can't be spending money to help a private organization when, you know, our schools are not still fully funded. So I think we'll see a lot of debate about that, but I think there could be a more serious look coming up at this spring about it.
Yeah, I'd be interested in that, because when it was between Chicago or Arlington Heights and then the Michael Reese site was a potential discussion on the south side of Chicago, you know, it was hard to kind of like really ramp up the lawmakers of the state, I imagine, because, hey, it's going to be state dollars inside the state, right? Maybe the people in their local districts jockeying for where they want the stadium, maybe in their backyard or not. But, you know, it was always assumed it was going to be in Illinois, and whatever revenue dollars that brings in, we're going to stay in the state. Now that Indiana has kind of put it out there that they're more than willing and welcome, and the Bears have also given a nod to them, I think I'm in the minority of actually thinking that I think it's a serious threat, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if they end up in Northwest Indiana, Ben. And at that point, then I think lawmakers are going to have to, I don't know if they'll sing a different tune, maybe they'll stick with it and say, hey, go to Indiana, that's fine. But that certainly does ramp up all state lawmakers now onto an issue that beforehand had been maybe more municipal or local between towns and villages. Now it's state versus state. I don't know if you agree or disagree with that, Ben.
No, I think you're right, because, you know, one of the big issues we've seen, you know, in the years that this conversation's been happening is the Chicago lawmakers have been pretty resistant to anything that would help the Bears leave Chicago and move to Arlington Heights, of course. So, you know, they're kind of the wild card here because there's so many Democrats that come from Chicago. Obviously, it would not benefit their districts to see the Bears move out of the city, but at the same time, you know, does it benefit anybody's district to see the Bears move, you know, just a couple miles potentially over the state line, but the state of Indiana gets to win all the tax revenue and, you know, entertainment spending that comes from that. So, you know, I don't know that that's going to change a lot of lawmakers' minds, because a lot of them, it sounds like, feel like the Bears are bluffing here on the Indiana threat. So we'll have to see. But, you know, I think if Indiana started becoming a lot more serious and threw out a proposal or something that got into public view, you know, that could spark Illinois lawmakers to think a little bit more about it. And there's certainly suburban Democrats who would benefit from this, who are, I assume, going to push their colleagues to consider some legislation to help the Bears as well.
I don't want to put you on the spot, Ben, because I didn't plan for this at all, to chat about the Bears until we started talking. But the crux of what they want, it's not like they want dollars directly from taxpayers like we see in other sports venues. It seems to be like they want a rule change that would loosen up Arlington Heights' ability to be more flexible with how and the mechanisms in which they pay property taxes. Is that your general understanding of what the Bears want?
Yeah, they do want $800 million for infrastructure to, you know, Route 53 would not be able to handle the traffic, for example, that would go to Bears games every Sunday. And, you know, there's a lot of infrastructure that would have to go into even making that site feasible to host the Bears, to do all the other development the Bears want on the Arlington Park site. So there is a state dollar ask that's coming for it. But what the Bears' biggest priority is that property tax legislation, like you mentioned, which would, you know, my understanding isn't super complicated, but it would allow the Bears to kind of have this property tax break, a freeze for a number of years, many as probably a couple decades, actually, to pay a lower property tax level in order to develop the site. So they're not paying more in property taxes as the stadium is getting built, but the Bears aren't even gaining revenue at that point from the land. So that's kind of what they want. But the school districts in the Arlington Heights area are obviously pushing back because, you know, that's less money that they would receive and more that residents in the area would have to pony up in order to make up the difference. So, you know, certainly a complicated thing. I don't know that a lot of lawmakers are that interested in that piece of legislation, at least as far as specifically doing it for the Bears.
I think it starts as a bluff, but sometimes bluffs kind of take on their own, you know, you start to think about it a little bit more. I mean, look at neither New York team plays in New York. They play in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And then we just had the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City, Missouri, get a way more attractive offer just a couple miles away in the state of Kansas, and they went by to Arrowhead. And I think that that's sometimes how those things happen. You can kind of speak things into existence a little bit. I don't know. I think that this is going to become maybe this will become one of those issues that eventually boils up and boils into your realm at Capital News Illinois.
It certainly could. And yeah, that's a good point you brought up about the Chiefs, because Illinois is kind of one of the only states right now being resistant to their NFL teams that are looking for a new stadium within the state. Tennessee has put up money for the Titans. New York put up money for the Bills. So, you know, Illinois in some ways is kind of an outlier, but there's a lot of economists who will say Illinois is actually right in doing this because the economic benefits actually are not good enough to do what Kansas is doing, for example, to bring the Chiefs in.
I, for one, and I won't put you on the record, Ben, I personally don't really care. Hammond is actually closer from here than it is to Arlington by a couple miles. I don't go to many Bears games, and I'll still call them the Chicago Bears, whether they're in Hammond, Indiana or not. My only objection is it's the pride and joy of Illinois, and that rhymes currently in the song, and we'd have to rewrite Bear Down. Or we just still say Illinois, I guess that'd be fine, and, you know, we'd work something out. But I'm a big stickler for things rhyming, Ben, and that would be a problem in that song. So, let's talk a little bit about new laws here in 2026. You wrote a couple different articles about this, some before the new laws took into effect, and some as we were getting a little bit closer to the new year. Are there any ones that you want to really highlight as maybe interesting or little nuggets or ones that maybe are a big change in your mind?
Yeah, I think one of the bigger ones that might get kind of swept under the radar, especially here in the Chicago area, but this came out of Springfield in the incident with Sonya Massey back in 2024. She was a black woman who was shot and killed by a white Sangamon County Sheriff's deputy at her home in Springfield. And, you know, a lot of our reporting in Capital News Illinois found that the deputy who shot her had a very troubled record at other police agencies that he had been at. He had, you know, a lot of internal investigations. There was allegations that he was disobeying his superiors. And state lawmakers passed a new law in response to this that is going to require a lot more background checks for police agencies to hire police officers. And, you know, this is obviously a conversation we've had in America for a number of years now, since George Floyd in 2020. But I think it's something that, you know, we'll kind of see reverberate around the state as police agencies have to do much more thorough background checks in order to be able to hire police officers to make sure that no disciplinary issues are being overlooked at other agencies. And I think, you know, it's something that will certainly impact the Chicago Police Department, suburban police agencies, as they're, you know, potentially looking for lateral hires from a lot of other police departments in the area, since that's a rather common occurrence up here. So, you know, I think that's kind of one of the bigger ones that obviously got some noteworthy coverage because of why it was inspired. But I think a lot of, you know, activists and the conversations we're having right now in the Chicago area about crime and those sort of things, it's kind of one of those that kind of gets into regulating the police a little bit. And ideally, according to lawmakers, hiring better police officers.
That's Senate Bill 1953. To me, it seems like a no-brainer. What am I missing? Was there much objection to this, or did this pass pretty easily?
Yeah, it passed pretty easily from what I recall. I don't think there was a lot of pushback. There had been other things in that bill to allow, like, recalling the county sheriff after maybe a certain incident, or if there was a certain number of voters who petitioned to recall the county sheriff. That stuff ultimately did not make it into the final version of this law. So I think a lot of lawmakers were kind of happy to see this loophole closed. I know there wasn't a lot of objections either from law enforcement groups, who also agreed that it's important to have police officers have their background checks to make sure, you know, we are hiring good police officers.
All right. Well, that's good news. I am a true crime aficionado in some ways. And I always feel like some of the stories, the horrific stories you hear out there, start with a family going to police saying, my son or my daughter or my friend is missing. And the police saying, well, we wait a while before we actually do anything or file a missing persons report. Am I reading that some of those rules, those waiting periods, are no longer going to be allowed?
Yeah, that's a super interesting law, actually, in that the statute of limitations for prosecuting cases of human trafficking of minors is going away. Previously, there'd been like a 25-year window for victims of human trafficking to bring those charges later, more than likely when they're adults. But that's being completely eliminated. So victims of human trafficking as a child can bring charges against their abusers, you know, probably over the age of 50 now. Obviously, we've heard a lot from advocates that, you know, people who are victims of these kinds of crimes, they're traumatic experiences. It takes time to process them and sometimes truly realize what happens, or it's hard to even just speak up and go to somebody about these incidents. So the state has completely gotten rid of any limitations on the time frame that you have to bring charges in these cases. And this was a bipartisan bill. It passed unanimously through the General Assembly. You know, every lawmakers in both parties were very happy about this change.
Yeah, that makes sense. The human trafficking statute. And then, yeah, another law about requiring police to immediately enter information about a person missing into the law enforcement agency's data system. Seems like a no-brainer to me as well. Of course, there never really are no-brainers, Ben. I mean, there's always a serious opposition, in some cases, I should say, that has some legitimate arguments. I do want to just pivot to, did I see that we're not going to be able to get soap at the hotel anymore?
That is true. The state is basically phasing out those small single-use plastic soaps that you sometimes get. I feel like a lot of hotels are doing those bottles on the wall in the shower now, so there's not as many single-use plastics. But yeah, those are now phased out completely throughout the state. It had started last year for some of the larger hotel chains. Now the smaller hotels are also required to phase those out as well. So bring your own soap if you're worried about potentially not having soap, but you're not going to be offered those for free anymore, at least in the hotels.
Right, or at least you could ask for it, I guess, if you really wanted it.
Exactly.
They could have some standby. Ben Zielinski, you do a lot of great work. I really appreciate your time for joining us. Where can people read more about what you do?
Yeah, find us at capitalnewsillinois.com and any newspaper and most TV stations around the state. They also share our work every day as well.
All right. You do great work. Take care, Ben, all right?
Thanks, John. Have a good weekend.